This episode of The Dark Side of the Rainbow is sponsored by us. We wanted to let you know that we have a huge online store full of official, you got to get the official, Gays Against Groomers merch. Each purchase really helps us continue our fight, and it's also a great way to spread an important message. So check it out at shop.gazeagainstgroomers.com. That's shop.gazeagainstgroomers.com. And to learn more about our organization, donate to our cause, or get involved, just visit gazeagainstgroomers.com. And if you're interested in sponsoring this program, please reach out at podcast@gazeagainstgroomers.com. Welcome to the Dark Side of the Rainbow. So today we have David Leon. He is a member of Gays Against Groomers. He is a member of the Washington chapter. He's a content creator and a social media influencer in his own right. And he's joining us today to tell his story of persecution, a persecution of sorts. He's been slandered. He's been maligned, all for political reasons. Quite evidently. And I'm going to have David here tell his story, what happened to him, and what he's been trying to do to push back. But the world needs to hear this and know the full extent of what he's going through. So, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's a pleasure. So, can you give us some insight about this incident that occurred there in Washington where you were hired as for a comedy show for the Pierce County GOP, and it was then that the man running for governor, who is the King County ex-sheriff, was present, and because of that, the Washington State Democratic Party decided, hey, if we can take down David, we can take down David Reichardt, this guy running for governor. Tell us about that.
So, yeah, I've been a member of GAG for about a year now, and I make content. I used to do stand-up comedy back in the day, and I haven't really done it consistently since 2020. But a few friends and connections I have here in Washington State politics in Pierce County, which is like an hour or so south of where I live, south of Seattle, one of them reached out to me, Kristen, and asked if I would be interested in performing a comedy set at the reception for their GOP convention in Pierce County. And I agreed to do it. I was really excited to get back in the saddle and do some comedy. Ironically, a lot of my jokes, which I was on the Brandi Cruz show the other week, and she even mentioned it. She's like, you know, that for calling him so anti-LGBT, most of his jokes were about Republicans. But so I got hired to do comedy there. And Dave Reichardt, who is a previous representative and previous King County sheriff, is running for the governor's election. So he's running in the gubernatorial race. And he's fairly moderate. So he does kind of scare some Democrats because he actually might have a chance of winning. So what happened was the morning of, as I'm getting ready to go down, to make the drive down to Pierce County and perform, I'm inundated with like 10 or 15 emails, text messages, phone calls being like, David, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? So what I got forwarded to me was an official press release from the Washington State Democratic Party calling me a far-right anti-LGBTQ extremist who spreads misinformation and is dangerous to the state of Washington. They neglected to mention a few details, one of which is I'm gay, second of which is the far-right extremist group that I'm a member of is Gays Against Groomers. So they were smart enough, devious enough, not to mention the name of the group or to mention my own sexuality, because they tried to paint me as some sort of straight bigot, transphobe, homophobe, for me to get as much backlash as possible. And what's so concerning about this is they used my full name. I've never used my full name. I've been making content for about a year now, and I've never used my full name in social media ever. So they left out the name of the group I'm a part of, but did use my full government name. And what could possibly be the reason for that, except for intimidation and almost like a light doxing light, you know? Like just trying to show that, listen, we can blow you up in a really negative way for you to get as much backlash as possible and paint a certain picture around you that if people don't look any deeper, they're going to believe, you know, because if you hear far right, dangerous, anti-LGBT extremist who is equivalent to the Proud Boys, which is what they mentioned in the press release, an image of a gay man doesn't really come up, you know, it doesn't conjure that image. It conjures an image of some, you know, in their mind, probably like MAGA hat wearing anti-gay bigot who, you know, is just hates everybody of any kind of difference of color or race or creed or sexuality or anything. So they knew that wouldn't be as effective if they were honest about who I am or about the group that I'm a part of. So they try to make it as salacious against me as possible. And what's concerning about that too is like this isn't just some activist group. This isn't just some activist rag mag or some periodical that comes out. This is the official Washington State Democrats. This is the official party coming after someone like me who is so small potatoes. I don't have like the money or the influence or the platform or anything for me to be a genuine target. But what scared me about that is that it shows that you can't be small enough for them to leave you alone. You know, like they make this kind of like analogy or this little point of wisdom with the whole Trump indictment thing, how they say, you know, they're going, if they can go after Trump, they'll go after anyone, meaning they can go after a billionaire who is a president or for, you know, somebody who's really big time can really insulate himself. If they can get him, they can get anyone. What them targeting me told me is that you can't be small enough for them to leave you alone, right? Like they will go after anybody as long as it has a chilling effect on other dissenting voices, specifically LGBT voices that aren't going along with all of the crazy acronym activism that's going on. You know, so if you're a gay person who doesn't agree with the medicalization of minors, if you're a lesbian who doesn't think that you know, 12-year-olds should be or 9-year-olds should be put on puberty blockers for gender reasons, for gender exploratory reasons, then your LGBT voice doesn't matter. They'll have no problem defaming you and silencing you and intimidating you into complete complicity or silence. But since they didn't know me very well, they didn't realize that that would only just piss me off. And in response to that, I've put out a few videos kind of going over some of the craziest things that Washington State Democrats have supported in the last year when it comes to, I don't know, the King County Homeless Authority appointed a convicted pedophile on their board, on their homeless authority board. And when questioned about it, one of the leads of that board said, I'm glad he's a pedophile because so many homeless people are also convicted sex offenders. She said, no, I'm glad he's a sex offender because so many other convicted sex offenders are homeless. So this speaks to his lived experience. Mind you, he was like arrested for sexually assaulting, I want to say a 13 or 14-year-old. He was caught living with a 15-year-old girl in his tent. And he's also had charges of either pimping or soliciting a 17-year-old. So this was the person that was defended. He'd also made sexual advances to other women on the board. And because he had some sort of like two-spirit, non-binary affiliation, they didn't want to touch anything about criticizing him. So they supported that. So, you know, I reminded them of that. Was it extreme of me to call it out, or was it extreme of them to support it in the first place? You know, or the example of Olympus Spa, the Korean small business that's been here for decades. My mom used to go there all the time before she moved to Arizona. And this spa, Korean spas, they're traditional Korean spas, they are mandatory nudity. So you have to be naked and they're sex segregated. And girls and women have been going to Olympus Spa completely comfortable for decades, being naked around their girlfriends, mothers, sisters, daughters, whatever. And there was a trans-identified male who went into the spa fully naked, fully intact, so still had his male member, and was making young girls very uncomfortable and their mothers very uncomfortable. And he was asked to leave, so he decided to sue. And a Washington State gay advocacy slash civil rights group, completely supported by the Democrats, sued Olympus Spa to force them to allow fully intact biological men to share a nude space, a mandatory nude space with women and girls. Girls as young as 13 can attend this spa. So they've completely removed the safety and any sort of privacy or dignity that these women and girls have to feel completely comfortable being nude in a spa situation that's not sexual at all. And now they have to be concerned with that. So calling that out, I actually spoke, I gave a speech at the protest that was held there. Gays Against Groomers was a big sponsor of that as well. And it's insane to me. It's insane to most people when they dive into the details, but nonetheless, that doesn't stop Democrats from calling me extreme for calling it out. And I'm sure you get DMs and comments like this all the time, like I do every single day, from moms and dads saying, thank you so much for speaking out about this. This means so much. I can't speak out because they'll call me transphobic or anti-LGBT. And I'm like, sis, baby, brother, please. They call us that too, you know? Like it doesn't stop them from calling me anti-LGBT. It doesn't even matter if I'm in the acronym or not. So I can understand why people are scared to speak out because even just look what happened to me, but it is worth it because the fight is too important.
Wow. So what kind of garbage is this that you're protecting, you're standing up for the youth, for kids, and then you have a machine. You actually have the state party weaponizing its position in order to slander and malign you as a far right anti-LGBT a hateful bigot simply because you believe in putting these lines of limitation between adults and children, between the sexualizing agenda of the of queer theory and trans ideology and children, and then they go as far, you're telling us, is to defend a convicted child sex offender, a convicted pedophile, to try to make a point that they're actually serving the community. They're giving representation to everybody as though it were a positive thing. So, how is it that somebody could spin protecting a pedophile into being a good thing in order to turn that on you to make you wrong?
Yeah, it takes some mental gymnastics to do that for sure. I mean, an even more egregious example is in the Maple Valley School District here in Washington State. An elementary school paraeducator named Brian Nayers, who there were multiple complaints about from the very beginning of him joining the school and working with elementary school boys and girls. There were multiple complaints about him about making sexual jokes around children, including one saying, I'll give you a nickel to suck my pickle, which is something we used to say to each other in middle school, but not an adult saying to an elementary school boy, right? So there were multiple complaints made about Mr. Brian Nayers, and for 5 years, he was allowed to still work with children because the complaints were dismissed as being anti-gay because he was gay, because he was a gay man. The multiple complaints about him were dismissed as just being hateful or anti-LGBTQ. So they protected this man. Well, Brian Nayers went on to molest upwards of three or more boys for 5 years, and he started grooming them as young as in kindergarten. The first day of this boy attending kindergarten, when he came home, his mother asked him, what was your favorite part of the day? And he said, spending time with Mr. Nayers after class. So he started grooming them from day one in kindergarten, and he did the most egregious things to them that I can't even say on social media or on shows or anything like that. The worst of the worst, that's what he did to those boys. They have severe psychosexual trauma. The abuse happened in cars, and the mother was explaining to media how when she even just drives by the school with her son in the car with her, he starts having full-fledged panic attacks and a physical reaction because the abuse happened in a car right outside the school, and he can't even control the psychosexual trauma that's buried in his body and his soul because of the abuse of this psychopath and pedophile. And this was allowed to happen because the leftists in this state and on these boards were more keen to err on the side of not offending a potential, not offending a gay person potentially versus erring on the side of protecting children. And that's what this woke mind virus does. And that's when you ask me, how does somebody defend, a board member coming on and then accuse you of doing something wrong? That's it, because there's a hierarchy in this woke hive mind of importance. And, you'll have LGBT, you'll have immigrants, Black people, brown people, whatever minority you can think of. For some reason, on this pyramid of hierarchy of protected classes, children don't end up anywhere on that pyramid. So for the modern woke, it is much more important to protect the feelings and the dignity of adult LGBTQ people than it is to protect the safety and future mental stability of children, and that's when you realize that their priorities are so out of whack. So if those people that have their priorities so backwards are calling me anti-LGBT and an extremist and dangerous and far right, I will wear that as a badge of honor because I want nothing from those people. I want nothing from them. It's like a silly little quote, but it makes so much sense in this context. I don't care what you call me. Your boos mean nothing because I've seen what makes you cheer. You cheer on adults doing burlesque drag performances in front of children. You cheer on sex toys being passed out at parades where children are attending. You cheer on overly sexual material being explored and shown to children in school as part of sex ed. So when you start booing us, I could give a shit, to be honest, because you guys support the most vile things possible. And all for the sake of what? Some woke brownie points? So that your minority friend doesn't think you're homophobic or transphobic? It's not worth it. Stop sacrificing your children and your family's well-being at the altar of this modern hive mind woke virus. It's not worth it, I promise. Like, these trends will come and go, but the lasting harm will be there for a lifetime. So we need to be much more cautious about what we're exposing and who we're exposing our children to, because we know this very clearly. A lot of administrators and people in power, their priority is not protecting them. Their priority is indoctrinating them first and foremost, and placating the feelings of mentally unstable, radical political activist adults. That's where their priorities are at. And it's really disappointing, but it's much better that we know this and acknowledge this as the world that we live in, so we can operate from a place of reality.
Right. The obscenity here, aside of what it is you're actually doing your activism against, as is the Gays Against Groomers, is just in the way that they turn this whole thing around. Because they're throwing the whole gay community really under the bus of perversion. What they're saying is that gay people really are the perverts. Gay people really are into pedophilia. Gay people really are into the sexualization of children. This is their identity, they're basically trying to say. And if you speak against that, you're speaking against the gay community. It's like
Oh,
this
yeah.
willful ignorance not to delineate the difference between a gay person and a pervert or a pedophile, because we have perverts and pedophiles in all groups, in the straight group
Yes.
and the bisexual group and the gay and
But you know what? But you know what predators look for? They look for institutions impervious to criticism, like teachers in schools, like priests and churches, and like activists in the LGBT community. So they are looking, predators are looking for places that they can hide, and not just hide effectively, but be defended with a shield and a sword by the institution or by the culture that surrounds that group or identity group, so that there's always people rushing to their defense. I mean, look at all of the little kids and little kids' mothers that still defend Jeffrey Marsh and say that anybody that criticizes Jeffrey Marsh is just a hateful right-wing bigot. No, this adult man wearing lipstick with stubble is telling kids to go no contact with their parents and saying that he loves them just as much and he will be their family. That is grooming and indoctrination and cult behavior 101. And people are still seeing everything through this like blinding empathy glasses where they're equating this entire modern gender movement with essentially something as like benign as the gay rights movement or the gay marriage movement. So of course those same people would be like, no, well, I mean, I support gay marriage. I support gay people being able to live the life they want. So why wouldn't I support, gender affirming care for minors? Why wouldn't I support self-identified trans men and women's sports? Why wouldn't I support that? That's just the next step. No, it's not. And your empathy is being weaponized against you and against your own children. So that's what's so dangerous about it. And that's why it's so important for us to speak from a place of objectivity and empathy and not name call everyone around us, because a lot of the people that are placating this or even enabling some horrific things with grooming and the sexualization of minors, they don't even really understand what's going on. They don't, and if they do understand what's going on, they're seeing it through rose-colored glasses. They literally think they're doing the world a net positive by teaching kids younger and younger about their sex ID and their sexuality and all of that. So we need to be able to take those people in that are good-hearted, empathetic, and they're just completely misguided. We need to be able to guide them into the objective truth and into the realm where they're not going to be hurting children either personally or publicly or politically by endorsing candidates or endorsing movements or legislation that will make it easier for children to end up with missing body parts and disrupted endocrine systems and their hormones completely screwed by the time they're teenagers, So there's so much work to be done, but the tide is turning for sure. And I mean, it's gonna get uglier. I know that for sure, because too many people are very, very entrenched in this. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of a parent who's put their kid through this. How difficult would it be to admit you've essentially let your child, not even let your child ruin their life, you've ruined your child's life by putting them through all of this gender madness, It's going to be really hard for a parent to admit that. So yeah, they're going to double and triple down and say they did the right thing. And they're going to unfortunately have a bunch of institutions ready to defend them on that. I mean, the current president of the United States barely puts out a statement about anything, but he did put out a statement about trans children and how the best thing a parent can do for a gender confused child is affirm their gender. Those are the words of President Biden. That is dangerous. That is beyond dangerous. That is abusive. And it's so negligent. It is criminally negligent for the president of the United States to go out encouraging gender affirming care for minors when so many other states and countries that we would see as like more left wing than us and more enlightened than us have completely banned this crap for children because they know it's all experimental and it's very, very dangerous. Yet we have our own president putting out statements that the best thing parents can do is to get their children on that trans pipeline immediately and affirm everything they say. And by affirm everything they say, I mean affirm everything they're repeating from the people that are grooming them online or at school or in their friend group. Kids don't think about their gender in complex ways whatsoever. And we're introducing these super complex topics and concepts to them, expecting them to have informed consent to go along with something. That's a joke. We're literally just letting our kids be used as lab rats for big pharma and greedy, money-hungry doctors and surgeons. So it's a very, very toxic fight right now. But this is like the last point where we'd want to give up. This is where we have to double and triple down and get extra smart about how we're working against this monster.
Yeah, and let me just say a couple things. First off, we have to remember that these people who are attacking you, that are attacking the work of Gays Against Groomers and advocates of if, whatever they are, parents groups or whatever, are also the same types of people that are taking this whole LGBTQIA plus thing, and they're incorporating, they're folding in the MAPS, the minor attracted people. We've heard of even up and I believe the area you're in, fisting kits being given out at one point to children, actual fisting kits And what they're really spreading here by spreading this ideology, by supporting and propping it up and protecting all of this and propagandizing it, is they're spreading mental illness, because the condition that these people, that these children have, particularly the ones that are dealing with their trans identifying issues, gender dysphoria, body dysmorphia, conditions which very much can be conveyed through instruction, through influence, through, as Robbie Starbuck brings up in his War on Children film, the mere exposure effect. Simply by putting it in front of children, it gives them a whole new consideration, and they can just adapt to it just because they heard of it. It seems to fit into a piece, and voila, now they have a mental disorder. This
And
is,
they know that.
and they know that. And this is, really shouldn't be a political matter. Unfortunately, people have taken their sides, and there seems to be this pattern of the more progressive, woke side of the culture pushing for this and propagandizing for it. And then it seems to be people who are more conservative, even people, independent, moderate people who are pushing against this, that see this as disgusting, yet they turn it into a political thing, and then they accuse you, or they accuse anybody, of being a far-right extremist just because they think that, just because the individual thinks that children need to be protected from these ideas. That's obscene. Do you remember that whole fisting kit thing that happened?
I don't, but that's like absolutely egregious and
It's
insane,
egregious.
especially because that's like not like generally safe for anybody to do, much less somebody who is young. Like that's crazy. And then that's just like, why are we introducing the most like absolute polarizing, like extreme sexual kink into just being into the normal LGBT umbrella? Like, did we not try for decades to not be equated as like sexual fetishists and kinksters? Have we not tried forever to just be like, yeah, we kind of just want the same thing straight people want? And now people are going to think, if anybody has any question why there's been a recent backlash against the LGBT, fisting kits for children is a great place to freaking start. Are you joking me? Like, if they think any of that, if they think our reaction to any of this is the problem versus the actual subject matter, you're delusional. If they think that we're the ones that are causing the backlash against the LGBT, you're delusional. We're the only ones that are on the edge of this crazy movement to let people know that we're still sane. There are still most, I would argue absolutely, that most gay people do not support this, especially if you get into the weeds with it. If you start talking about details, most gay people wouldn't support a 16-year-old going on hormones or getting their breasts chopped off. What the left has been very capable and smart in doing, which they're always smart in doing this, is that they've made it a completely emotional narrative. So they've tied the political to the emotional, which Republicans really suck at doing. We'll be like, well, according to last year's facts and figures, it's like, no, you've already lost people. So they've equated, they're showing like these kids are going to kill themselves unless you give them this care. This girl has never been happier since she's transitioned from being a boy, and now she can live her true life and blah, blah, all this stuff. So then that's playing on people's compassion and their empathy. Like I said, it's being weaponized against them. So what the right is getting better at doing, specifically GAG is getting awesome at this, like with Amy coming out with that documentary, Leaving Amy. We need to get more into the weeds of the personal and how this affects people emotionally in their real life. We need to be telling stories of victims of gender ideology, because the left feels like they have a monopoly on victims, even though they usually side with the victimizer, ironically, but they still feel like they're the ones that are helping the oppressed and the trodden on. And it's like, no, the class in need of most protection above any other class is children, period, full stop. Okay. And what will show you exactly where the modern left's head is at, or even our modern culture's head is at when it comes to protecting children, is look at the difference between the reception of Time's Up and Me Too versus Save the Children. Save the Children became a right-wing trope It was, you're a crazy QAnon, Pizzagate, you're an idiot if you believe any of this stuff about the abuses of children and all of this. It's all kooky wackadoodle. Time's up, and Me Too became ubiquitous in our culture. It was accepted blindly, and if you even had any nuanced questions about it, your integrity and your morals were questioned down to the core. So it's just kind of ironic to see the difference of reception in our culture for a movement to originally protect fully grown adult millionaire women Hollywood stars, versus protecting children. It's insane the difference between those two things. So that's why we need to get better at A, we need to be more image conscious, 1,000%. We need to be aware of things making us look a little wackadoodle, because even if we have the truth on our side, people will scroll by or not look at it if they feel like the speaker of the truth is not, what's it called, is not someone you could vouch for. I mean, Trump is a great example of that. Trump will say some true things occasionally, but nobody wants to hear them because it's coming out of that orange asshole's mouth, So it's like, it's good to have the truth on our side and have the right message on our side, but we do need to get better at our style of communicating this, because we don't, it's too important for it to be easily dismissed based on style, or based on not content, but the not the content of what's actually happening, but the delivery of it, So yeah,
Right.
I mean, that's something that, like, unfortunately, in such a crazily image conscious world that we live in, beyond just like Hollywood and media, now with social media, it's like everybody's conscious of these kinds of things and becoming very hyper aware of inauthenticity or something that just seems a little grifty. So we just need to be very cautious of that, for sure, because it's too important. But Gag's been doing a killer job at it, obviously. Look at all the change that's happened since Jamie started Gag and brought awareness to this insanity,
Well, let me say that that is there's a lot of truth in what you said. Whether you love a particular political leader or not, that what is really being attacked here when it comes to this messaging is coming from a place of emotion. All right. So these people who are attacking these other people who are speaking up against what's happening in the schools are being attacked on the basis of personality, or you hurt my feelings, or maybe mean tweets. It's nothing with substance, and yet that is what so many of the followers, the listeners, and those who are really absorbing those opinions are coming from. So you see, sometimes you see interviews online. It's like, why do you hate, Trump, or why do you hate, the right, or why do you hate conservatives more generally? And of course, GAG's not a political organization, and the people within our organization have all sorts of perspectives. Obviously, the pushing of the LGBT plus, agenda is coming predominantly from the left. That's observable. But what we see is that the people who are really against the spokespeople are upset at them for ineffable reasons. In other words, unspeakable. They can't articulate. They actually don't even know why. And it becomes clear that they've been manipulated and controlled from an emotional place of hating personalities, of labels. And so they just close their ears off to anything that's being said, no matter how commonsensical. Like somebody that is maybe more conservative, could say the sky is blue, and all of a sudden it's not blue because it came from those people. And we just need to get to a place of facts. Like, I don't care if, the person who is the most far left or progressive or whatever starts speaking truth. If it's true, it's true. And we need to have that come from both sides. That, okay, maybe a person who is an LGBT person is against people on the right. Maybe it's just against their political persuasion. But they need to recognize what's true and stop making everything an emotional argument if they want to be taken seriously, and we're all going to unify again.
And I can guarantee one thing is that 10, 15 years, or even 5 years from now, when a previous trans child who is an adult now, is looking down and is missing body parts, and their entire health system is disrupted. They're gonna not gonna care if it was a left-wing official or a right-wing conservative representative who approved that health care being passed in their state. They're gonna wonder where the hell was the adult in the room that didn't prevent this from happening in the first place. They're not gonna give a rip if it was Marjorie Taylor Greene or AOC. It's going to have lifelong impacts on them personally, completely removed from politics. So this shouldn't be a political issue at all. But like you said, it has been kind of drawn down on political lines. I mean, a good example is Washington State last year, early last year. Washington State passed on 100% political lines. Every single Democrat voted for it. Every single Republican voted against it. To have that, what they've called the kidnapping bill in California and stuff, which would allow children from out of state to come and receive gender-affirming care in Washington without having parental notification whatsoever. So, and that was passed on party lines. Luckily, they've changed this since we gathered so many initiatives. Upwards of 100,000 people signed. We got over 2.4 million signatures last year along six initiatives, and one of those six initiatives was parental notification. So now it's become law in Washington State that if there's any sort of change in your child's mental health, sexual identity, anything like that, teachers and authorities have 48 hours to notify parents. Otherwise, it'll be illegal. So we are making incremental changes, and even in a deeply blue state that is very much tied the gender movement to their political identity and ideology, even in a state like this, we can still make headway because we just have to stick to our guns, stick to the truth. We don't have to embellish anything. We don't have to make anything any more salacious or sexy or dramatic because it already is that. It already is dramatic. It already is salacious. It is hugely controversial and scandalous. We already have that going for us. So if we just stick to the facts and objective reason, we are going to win this. It's going to be tough, but we are going to win because the victims of this movement and of all this malpractice aren't going to be going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be dealing with these health problems for the next few decades. So trust and believe that we will win in the end. But there are a few things that could be little monkey wrenches in our system and can trip us up. And one of the biggest things that could trip us up is people within our own movement tainting it by removing some of the seriousness of the allegations that we don't want to throw around, but are oftentimes thrown around. So I think that we just need to stick to our guns and keep sticking to this, to what we're doing and fighting the narratives that they always try to structure around this. Because that's what they'll always win on. They'll win on narrative, but we can win on truth and function because there's no narrative way of getting around all of the future victims and current victims of gender ideology. I mean, no amount of narrative will make somebody's removed breasts reappear, you know? And no amount of narrative will make somebody's womb capable of producing a child after years and years of hormones and puberty blockers. So we just have to stick to it. And speak from a place of truth, but also lead from a place of empathy because there are enough victims in this that we need to be out there with open arms saying, we know you've been screwed by this and we'll be here to help and we're not going to judge you for it, you know, because that's the only way we're going to get enough consolidation to actually change laws and win.
Exactly. And I love what you were saying earlier about just the carefulness of our language. One thing I really am growing to notice because yes, for instance, the groomer, let's talk about the word groomer, gays against groomers. Sometimes when it comes to name calling, some of these words get thrown around a little too liberally. Maybe like, you get click this, you like that or something. Now you're a groomer. But, and on one hand, it's like grooming, at least to me, it kind of looks like it's on a spectrum. Okay. Because when talking about grooming, it could be a very simple act of let me place this content in front of a child. Grooming could take on a more extreme part of the spectrum. Let's, have you start to entertain these ideologies or start to put these behaviors into practice, or perhaps let's have you start to embrace in your day-to-day life these ideologies and put them to work because you said something, you played with the Barbie because you like the color pink or
Right.
something. And yes, grooming does go all the way up to 100, which is where you have sexual predators actually on the child or on the person, preparing them mentally, causing them to accept or maybe even embrace the abuse.
Right.
So it is a very kind of broad category we're talking about, but if you take the first step into this so-called, this kind of grooming process, it is a slippery slope. And so it does
Yeah.
matter. Words matter, and these little things that you do and things you put in front of kids is actually part of a whole process of grooming. I mean, it leads to the next step, whatever that is.
Yeah, and I think that's why it would be important for us to be specific with our language, with, let's say, a parent who thinks they're introducing something positive to their LGBT child or whatever by exposing them to like a book like Gender Queer or something like that. So it would be like what I would say, for example, is be like, you are enabling the grooming of your child. I wouldn't say you are grooming your child to that, even though technically they kind of are, perhaps, but the word groomer is most strongly associated with sexual grooming, right? So it's gonna, like, if you, a parent is gonna hear that label come out then, or a friend of a parent or the kid or anybody in that during that board meeting or school meeting, they're gonna be like, well, I know they're not a groomer, right? Like, I know that's not who they are. That's not what they're doing, yet they're still being called that. Why would I listen to anything else these people say? You know what I mean? So it is really important for us to be careful with that. And it's, again, not to protect the feelings of any alleged groomer or any alleged pedophile at all. It is to protect the integrity of our movement and the words that we use. So it's, I think we can definitely be loose or liberal, not even loose or liberal, but you know, we don't need to second guess saying somebody is enabling grooming or facilitating grooming or is a groomer adjacent, you know? That makes sense, but we just can't take the weight out of those words by spreading them around too much because they should have weight. It's one of the worst things you can do, especially abuse a child in any sort of way. But we just don't want to be, we just don't want people to hear the word groomer or pedo and then kind of roll their eyes and be like, oh yeah, those are those crazy folks that call everybody groomers and pedos, just like we roll our eyes at these blue-haired teenagers calling everybody a racist or a bigot or a homophobe. You know what I mean? So it's like we don't want to make the same mistakes, and a good word like you use is use the words too liberally, and that, you know, pun intended, because it's just going to take the power away from it, our movement, and our own words. So yeah, I think we totally agree on that. And again, like it's to protect the integrity and the weight of our own words, not to protect the feelings or reputations of any of the people that we're talking about or criticizing. And I do think it's important. There was a Dr. Phil show about this, and I think they did a really good job where he kind of removed a little bit of the onus from the parents, and it made a lot of sense to me because we can't believe that every single parent of a trans child is grooming them specifically and, you know, has some sort of nefarious purpose or is just doing it because it's trans housing by proxy. No, a lot of these parents do in their heart believe they're doing the right thing because they have been psychologically groomed by these professionals and doctors and therapists because they just want them to go down the pipeline. Hey, it's another paycheck for them, you know? So what the doctors have completely relinquish their responsibility to first do no harm and B, just protect the actual, do what is actually best for the health and safety of that child. Like doctors shouldn't be recommending little kids to pediatric gender clinics from one appointment because as soon as you recommend them to the pediatric gender clinic, there is only one way for them to go. You don't go to a pediatric gender clinic to just, you know, have some therapy and, you know, consider your gender dysphoria and consider your options. No, you go there to get hormones and surgeries and go down the trans pipeline. That's the whole point of the pediatric gender clinics. That's how they make their money. They're very proud to do that. So we need to put a little bit more onus on the doctors. Maybe there needs to be some high-profile lawsuits to get doctors to start being responsible for their care again, because they're basically just relinquishing all their care and giving it to the pediatric gender clinics who only see things through one way. They see every, I mean, we've had so many whistleblowers at this point come out and say, we were encouraged to affirm every single patient that came in. That is not healthcare. That is not healthcare at all. That is entrance into a medicalized cult. That's what it is. So
Absolutely.
we need to be holding the professionals more responsible. And yes, there are some bad parents out there or predatory parents and that, but I know in my heart that a majority of them are well-meaning and well-intentioned. We shouldn't have that many psychopaths, you know, because it is still their offspring. It is their actual child. So you would hope that they have at least good intentions for them. So we need to be able to speak to those parents and open their eyes so before they do, you know, untold damage to their own children.
You know, I think you brought up a really good point, and that the compassion that we need to have, not just for the kids going through this, which should go without saying, no matter where you stand on this issue, but also for the parents and the people going through this with the kids.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, like you're saying, we think that because the parents, maybe who are buying into this, maybe who have themselves been indoctrinated into this, and maybe who themselves, because of their own beliefs that they've had since the 70s or however long that they've held beliefs, hold that the positions of a more liberal society toward this LGBTQIA plus set of issues is. You know, in their own right, they're coming from a place that, based on their experience, this is what's right and true for them. And so, fine, you think that, and other people think differently, and then we think differently. But we need to come together. We have to realize that we can't enforce our perspectives as so far as our beliefs onto people. But likewise, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road and where kind of the viciousness of this whole thing comes in, because we have a lot of these advocates for this ideology forcing themselves onto people and into the community that themselves would, you know, like to maintain their own space. So, you know, just like, you know, if you are a trans person or you have trans, you know, your parents want to support that, you know, that's one thing, that's part of your journey. But on the other hand, people who do believe in that should not be forcing that down the throats on the other side, because they are going to push back, because neither side wants to be imposed upon. And, you know, when it comes to like rights in general, I think that's one of the things that comes up. People say, well, you know, we don't have, we're losing our rights. We don't have rights. And you're like, well, what rights don't you have? Well, I don't have the right to go into, you know, a boy's bathroom or a girl's bathroom, which is the opposite of my biologically, you know, born sex. And then trying to explain to people that your rights can't involve trampling on the rights of other people. That's not how, you know, we have to consider, okay, we get where you're coming from, we get what's important to you, but how is that affecting the majority also? And that kind of
Yeah.
gets lost in the discussion. And they don't see that. It's kind of like a one-way street, a lot of these activists, which is what's causing everybody to push back so viciously. Because they need to protect what they have.
Yeah.
What do you think about maps? I mean, I know I'm pretty sure I know what you think about it, but it's, you know, it's integrating into society. There was this video that of this newscaster recently that was going viral, and there was this crowd behind him, and there was this little boy with these big old ears and this man behind him. And the man started to kiss up on the boy's face and then started to nibble his ears, eating his ear, like, ah, tongue and ear. And then the boy recognizes the camera square on them, points to the camera, and then this older figure, I have no idea who he is or who these two are, but he recognizes the camera. Then he tries to make this funny little playful face, like, oh, we're just playing. This
It's
is
so
happening
gross.
broad
I saw
daylight.
it.
Proud. I can't believe I'm seeing it with my own eyes. But it's being normalized, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know there was that like TEDx talk or something from years ago of the woman speaking about how important it is not to demonize minor attracted people or, in other words, pedophiles. Because even so, you know, she tries to say that like a pedophile has so many negative connotations. Oh no, not child diddlers having negative connotations. Like what? You know, so, and I get that there needs to be a difference between people that have offended and haven't offended, I guess. Like, yeah, there should be a distinction there, obviously. But it's the normalization of this is like beyond, I don't even think, I think it's beyond even normalization. You know, we've gone into the glamorization point of it, but it's the thing that's scary about this is that it's nothing new. So since the 70s, the French postmodernists and the French philosophers have basically viewed little children as the same as women or gays or any other minority group that needs to be liberated, right? And a part of the liberation was sexual liberation. So these people genuinely believe from an intellectual academic place that children need to be sexually liberated from the what's it called? The patriarchal, Judeo-Christian, all of the, you know, negative words that have structured that children shouldn't have sex with adults and, you know, in general, that that's just oppressive, you know? So this, that philosophy stayed in academia. It didn't really go anywhere. It's just been kind of mutated and recycled for decades since then. So even though they won't admit this on their face, that's what a lot of these I'm not going to say all the gender activists online believe, but what a lot of these academic gender activists actually believe. We had that one, I think she was like a trans identified male or something, or a female transition to a male, talking about the important, I'm not sure if they identified themselves as a minor attracted person, but they talked about the importance of like protecting them as like a group and that they're not all bad and blah 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 blah. So the only like kernel of truth or something that I can see in that is that if there was a way to get people therapy and help, not, and I'm not talking about like offenders who actually already did something, they should rot in a cell for sure. If they want to get therapy while they're in the cell, that's fine. I don't think tax dollars should pay for it though. But if there was a way for people to, I don't know, go in and try to deal with those demons before something happens, sure. But that doesn't mean we actually accept or normalize the behavior at all. That's insanity. I'm pro anything that gets less children abused and less trauma brought on children, right? So if that means putting some people in therapy or whatever the heck it may be, sure. But in by no means does this mean we try to normalize child attraction, that we try to equate it with same-sex attraction, that we try to make it a sexuality that you're just born with and you can't control or anything like that, because that's removing a lot of the responsibility. And say you're someone who has these attractions and you've never offended, but you are still trying to look for child abuse material online. You're engaging or trading or doing things like that. Yes, obviously that's still illegal. But beyond that, you are supporting an industry that does abuse children, right? So if you're watching these things, you're supporting more of those things happening because you're providing an audience for it. So, I mean, it's hard to say, is there any completely innocent, you know, or a way that we can just kind of completely remove any kind of responsibility and just view it as like almost a diagnosis. You know what I mean? Like I don't like that because I think it's too slippery, and then people will creeps will crawl in into the cracks of that and abuse that like they always do. So yes, I believe that there should be some kind of like rehabilitation or treatment so that God forbid they never, or you know, please God, they never abuse a child, and to prevent them from doing that. But absolutely not. We're not gonna try to just like medicalize this and pathologize this as just like a diagnosis or a sexuality or whatever. Absolutely not. Because then it inadvertently will cause the normalization of this, you know? So
Right.
it's a slippery slope.
Well, that's correct. I agree with that. We've only got a minute or two left here. And I
That's
think,
funny.
the major takeaway that I just got is, gender dysphoria is a mental health condition. Body dysmorphia is a mental health condition. And this whole minor attracted person's state of being is a mental health condition. And if we're not providing help and treating these illnesses as illnesses, if we're embracing them, accepting them, and normalizing them, all of these are things that can be spread and proliferated in society. And it doesn't have to come through skin contact, through blood contact, through sexual contact. It's an ideology, it's a social contagion. It's something that comes through the airwaves, through a picture, through a word. So, ideas are powerful, and it's important that we're putting out correct ideas. into society.
Yeah.
It has its real world effects in the end. So, well, David,
Absolutely.
thanks so much for joining. Could you share your social media, where people can find you?
Yeah. So you can find me online at American David without the A. So it's just American David. The at sign is like the A. It's super clever. And that's on Twitter, Instagram, and then on TikTok, it's American David 2.0 because I've already been deleted and banned so many times. And yeah, those are the best place to find me on X and Instagram. It's American David. Starting up a YouTube and a Rumble soon as well. I already started. I just haven't uploaded my material on there yet. And you can also check me out on, obviously, on the Gays Against Groomer page and New American Empire on Instagram. So yeah,
Awesome.
thank you so much for having me. It was an awesome conversation, Robert. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, appreciate you. And for the listeners, if you would like to contact the podcast here, you can email us at podcast@gaysagainstgroomers.com. You can visit us at the website. You can sponsor us through contacting us there. And we have our merch up for sale there too. So you can be part of this battle, spread the idea that can actually have that real world effect. So thanks for joining us, and we will catch you next week.